They taught us in seminary that every Sunday you preached, all three lessons are supposed to run together. Well, guess what? This was a toughie. If I had known when I chose this Sunday to preach, I would have had Lisa or somebody else do it. But there is a theme here, and really an interesting one, because if you listen to the gospel carefully, it sounds sort of like peekaboo. Jesus says, well, you're going to not see me, and then you're going to see me and peekaboo, and I'll be back. And of course, we know as Christians that that coming back is the Holy Spirit. But that's a few weeks away. Then you go to the book of 1 Peter, and we hear and have heard for a number of weeks Peter struggling with a community that is suffering. And their question is, where is God in my suffering? Where are you, God? But I chose to preach the sermon about the sermon, which is Paul's sermon to the Athenians in our second reading today. Now, I wasn't brave enough to bring this up, but John Lawyer mentioned at Wednesday Eucharist that Athens was the only place, one of the few places where Paul preached, that there was no church established. So I don't know about the effectiveness of this sermon that we're going to talk about this morning. But the reason I chose it is it does give two very different answers to that question. Where is God? Is God here among us, with us, working through us? Or is God out there somewhere doing something that we may or may not know about? Now, Paul's been on a missionary journey, and if you look at the map, he's sort of like a pinball in a pinball machine. He's been in Ephesus and Philippi and bounced around to Thessalonica, and now he ends up in Greece, in Athens. And I suspect by the time he got here, he was pretty tired. Paul enters the Areopagus, which is really what we would call Mars Hill. And it was an ancient marketplace of ideas in Athens. It was perched on a pretty rock above the city of Athens. And remember, Athens is where the great philosophers hung out in the ancient Greece. Plato and Socrates, and they shared their ideas about the nature of life. And as our scriptures record, people gathered at this Areopagus, this marketplace of ideas, and they had done this for centuries. They would gather each day, and all they would do would be sit there or stand there and talk about ideas, sharing new things, new ideas. Now, if my dad were here today, it's his 89th birthday, he's in Branson, Missouri, but if he was here today, I can just hear him. He said, don't they have jobs to go to? Come on now. There's more important things in life. But for Athenians, thinking and talking was their job and their main export to the world. And they listened to each other and argued with each other. Now, into this Gentile Mecca, this marketplace of ideas, the Apostle Paul strides. He's probably tired and weary from his journey, and he must have wondered, I think, to himself, where is God in this very different place? Indeed, in this first part of his sermon, there is a really unique section that isn't paralleled anywhere else in Paul's speeches or letters. And wisely, I think, Paul begins where his hearers are. He talks about the unknown God, and he quotes pagan philosophers and poets. In God we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for we too are his offspring. Paul wants the Athenians to know that God is with them, that God is among them, that God is in some very real sense like them. Where have you and I ever felt that way about God? As I reached back into my hallway of memories, I thought back, gee, the last time I really felt that way was when I was a child. Now, not all of us grew up in church, but I grew up in a Christian household. And I remember early in my own life that sense of trust and that sense of God's presence. It came easy for me, flowing as it did from my parents' faith. Church and God and Christianity were such a part of our lives that I actually ingested it with my Wheaties and my SpaghettiOs every day. The faith that I had was nurtured in kindergarten and in Sunday school. And then when we finally got to confirmation class, it was guess who got to ask the tough questions that stumped the pastor. Me and my friends, Kathy Cloud and Victor Steelhammer and Bronco Lukey, all ganged up on the pastor, and I was the one that got in trouble for starting a water fight in the boys' bathroom. But the point was, we had a community of faith. We knew God was close to us. But then something happened to us. That's something called adolescence. You remember that, those of you who have been through it. God and faith and community then begin to ebb and flow in our lives. Maybe going away for a while, maybe coming back as we go out into a world to find out who we are. We're not so concerned about who God is. And as we get older, our circle of friends enlarges, our education, our work skills, and then you would think that our ideas about God would grow also as we grow. And that is what should happen. But sometimes it doesn't. And that's one reason I think Paul makes a big turn toward the end of our reading today. He provides really two very different answers. And to be honest, it almost feels to me like he's gluing two sermons together. I've done that before. I thought, this isn't enough. I'm going to add something else to it. So Paul shifts his focus from the God who is with us and the God who is like us and is present in our lives to this God who has come and acted for our salvation. It's a God who is, yes, in our lives, but he's out there and has acted in Jesus Christ. And to many people, that is a hard vision. It's as hard and as unyielding as the stone underneath Paul's feet in the Areopagus. It's a linear vision of God moving from here to there, from point A to point B during this time and that. And I don't want you to get me wrong, that's a very important part of the gospel. This God who is, yes, always present, but needs to reach down to us and rescue us and heal what is broken and judge what's unjust in the world and save us. But that's a very different answer to the question, where is God? What I want us to know today is sometimes in our lives, we do need to recognize that there are different answers to these questions about God. God is always present. But sometimes in our lives, we need that presence in a different way. Sometimes in my own darker moments, I wonder, as the people St. Peter wrote to, where is God right now? Is God here? Is God working in my life? And I have to admit, sometimes I feel like we become spectators at a circus. We're kind of watching this God performance out there, and it's not really part of our own lives. But it's at that point where we need to hear again the first part of Paul's sermon today, of God being with us. What I want to invite you to do today, in the time of quiet after the sermon, is wonder for yourselves, where is God for you today? Is God as near, as close as your family or your own skin? Is God out there doing something that you don't quite understand, making things happen? Or is God some combination of both? Now, I have an ulterior motive here. Since Blair is gone, we'll have a variety of preachers over the next few Sundays. And I want to warn you that the next three Sundays are sort of like the triple header. Next Sunday, Dan Anderson will be talking to us about the ascension of Christ. That's another one I wouldn't want to preach. You know, the elevator where Jesus goes up to heaven? He's going to help us understand that. Where is God? The following Sunday, since I set the schedule, I get to preach on Pentecost, which is the Holy Spirit, God with us again. And finally, in the middle of June, we're going to celebrate the Feast of the Holy Trinity, and poor Lisa drew the short straw. Somebody once said that to not understand the Trinity is to miss out on salvation, but if you do try to understand it, you go crazy. So we're going to hear about how God is present to us as parent, as Christ, and as Holy Spirit. No pressure, Lisa. But each Sunday, we're going to celebrate these different ways of God being with us. And so I want you to come along on this adventure, to argue the answers, to live the questions as the Athenians did of old. Where is God? Amen.